Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Dayton James Weber. First I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the alleged crime, then offer my analysis. Dayton James Weber was born on June 23, 1998, in Charlotte Hall, Maryland. This is about an hour south of Washington, D.C. Dayton was raised by his parents, Natalie and Mike. When he was 10 months old, Dayton developed a bacterial infection from Streptococcus pneumoniae, which is typically associated with respiratory and ear infections. In Dayton's case, the infection was unusually severe and progressed to sepsis. He would later say that he was given a 3% chance of survival. In situations like this, infections can disrupt blood flow to the extremities, causing tissue death and necessitating amputation. Physicians amputated Dayton's arms and legs, leaving him a quadruple amputee. After recovering from the amputations, Dayton was an extremely active child. He adapted very well to his physical limitations and even played football, wrestled, and rode dirt bikes. In 2015, Dayton developed an interest in a game called cornhole. This is a simple game often played on lawns during backyard gatherings. It involves players throwing small beanbags 27 feet toward a raised, angled wooden board with a hole in it. A player gets 3 points if they get a bag in the hole, and 1 point if the bag lands on the board. Some people find the name cornhole offensive, as it has a long-standing slang meaning that refers to an orifice people rarely use in a recreational lawn game. For instance, nobody would ever want to celebrate a game achievement by yelling, "Great throw, Bob. That beanbag went right up my cornhole." A version of the term was prominently featured in the animated series Beavis and Butthead. Some people have actually created custom cornhole board wraps in reference to this. Due to the potentially offensive nature, cornhole is sometimes referred to using the less controversial name, beanbag toss. Despite the game's casual reputation and its unfortunate exhaust port connotation, cornhole developed into a competitive activity with organized leagues, such as the American Cornhole League. Professional cornhole games feature standardized rules, ranked players, and televised tournaments. Some people really get into this. Dayton had a great deal of success with cornhole. In 2020, he was named the best player in the state of Maryland. In 2021, he became a professional cornhole player in the American Cornhole League and competed in the World Championships. Dayton was highly functional in more than just playing cornhole. He could drive a vehicle, he went hunting, and he posted videos on social media featuring him climbing a tall ladder to get in a tree stand, and firing a muzzle loader. One video featured Dayton loading a magazine into a semi-automatic pistol, manually cycling the action by pulling back the slide, he was chambering a round, aiming the weapon, and firing the weapon. Dayton had big plans for his future and dreamed of being a priest or a Secret Service agent. Now moving to the timeline of the alleged crime. On Sunday, March 22, 2026, at 10:35 p.m., two people flagged down police officers near La Plata Road and Radio Station Road in La Plata, Maryland. The witnesses said that they had been picked up that night from their place of work by a friend of theirs and rode in the back of his Tesla SUV. The friend was Dayton James Weber. When they entered the SUV, another friend named Bradrick Michael Wells was already in the front passenger seat. As Dayton was driving, a heated argument erupted between him and Bradrick. Dayton produced a pistol and shot Bradrick in the head twice, killing him. After the shooting, Dayton pulled over near Radio Station Road and Llano Drive. He asked the witnesses to help him pull Bradrick's dead body out of the SUV. The witnesses refused, exited the SUV, and left the scene. Dayton drove away with Bradrick's body still in the front seat of the vehicle. Based on this report from the two witnesses, the police searched for Dayton, mostly because of the murder part. 2 hours later, at 12:41 a.m., now on March 23, 2026, a resident who lived on Newport Church Road in Charlotte Hall, Maryland, called 911 and indicated there was a body on the side of the road. There was blood on the head and on the upper torso. Charlotte Hall is 13 miles east of La Plata, where the shooting allegedly occurred. When the police arrived, they found 27-year-old Bradrick Michael Wells dead. As the search for Dayton continued, his vehicle was found in Charlottesville, Virginia. The This is 110 miles west of La Plata, Maryland. Dayton was in a nearby hospital seeking treatment for a medical issue. He was placed under arrest. When he is extradited to Maryland, Dayton Weber will face charges of first-degree murder, second-degree murder, first-degree assault, second-degree assault, and use of a firearm in a felony. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. This case creates a strange contradiction. An armed man who is, in a literal sense, unarmed. At first glance, people might look at this and say there's no way that a quadruple amputee produced a pistol and shot someone sitting a few feet away twice in the head. Furthermore, he somehow did this while he was driving a vehicle? As I mentioned, Dayton posted a video of himself firing a pistol. It seems clear he was physically capable of carrying out the homicide in the manner described by the two witnesses. Dayton was also able to drive a vehicle. Allegedly, he combined driving with shooting to carry out this murder. Afterward, he allegedly removed Bradrick's body from the SUV by himself. Again, the two people in the passenger seat refused and exited. Any one of these actions would be an incredible feat considering Dayton's limitations, yet somehow he allegedly performed all three, driving, shooting, and extricating the body. Item number two, there are still many questions that need to be answered in this case. A few examples. Are the police positive that Dayton was the shooter? If he was the shooter, why was he carrying a pistol? Did he have a concealed carry permit in the state of Maryland? The regulations to get a permit in Maryland are strict, although not as strict as they used to be. Did Bradrick or the passengers know that Dayton was armed? Where was the weapon stored? How was Dayton able to produce a pistol, aim, and fire without someone else in the vehicle disarming him? Dayton was driving a Tesla SUV. That company only makes two SUV models, the Model Y and the Model X. Neither is considered full size. Anyone in the vehicle could have easily reached out and grabbed the weapon. What was the motive in the alleged murder? Did Dayton really shoot Bradrick just because they were arguing? What was the argument about? And was anybody in the vehicle under the influence of alcohol or other substances at the time of the shooting? Item number three, Dayton survived a terrible ordeal when he was an infant. He did not let his physical limitations keep him down. Dayton managed to be astonishingly functional. He fought through a lot of hardship. He once said that his whole life had been overcoming things people didn't think he could do. When people imagine a person with a severe physical disability who attains a high level of functioning, they usually think of typical everyday activities. For example, ambulating, climbing, opening doors, making a bed, playing sports, driving a vehicle, things like that. It would never really occur to most people that a person in Dayton's position would learn how to shoot a gun and use that ability to commit a murder. In a sense, if Dayton is guilty, this makes him an unlikely pioneer in the realm of overcoming challenges. He is a man who unlocked numerous abilities, including those that should have been avoided, like homicide. Many people thought of Dayton as inspirational, but now his legacy is a lot murkier. Now moving to my final thoughts. This is one of those rare cases where the facts, as alleged, seem to conflict with intuition. Dayton spent his life overcoming limitations that most people would find insurmountable. And now he stands accused of overcoming them in a way that few people would have anticipated. If the allegations are true, this case suggests that it's possible to overcome limitations in ways that were never intended. Those are my thoughts in the case of Dayton James Weber. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon. In many murder cases, prosecutors will talk about how bad the killer was. They'll talk to the media and say things like the killer was evil or deranged, and they need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. There's this real clear difference between the victim and the perpetrator. The victim did nothing wrong, and the perpetrator is a horrible person. In this case, there's no reason to believe that the victim did anything wrong. But there is a reason to believe that Dayton is not a horrible person. He clearly had a lot of adversity in his life. He overcame a number of obstacles, as I mentioned. So this is probably a case that Maryland just wants to prosecute and put Dayton in prison without making a big show of it, without making it look like they're taking a stand against some type of evil force or negative trend that's occurred in society. His behavior was very unexpected for or someone in his position. Dayton was just about as unlikely a killer as one can find. I think there will also be some challenges in terms of incarcerating him. He has a disability that could impact where he can be housed. So this case has challenges in a few areas in terms of prosecution and incarceration if Dayton is found guilty. It's definitely an unusual case. It's one of those headlines that just strikes people immediately as weird and bizarre. Like, can this be real? Is this actually what happened? Or is there something else to the story? It's the kind of case that can breed conspiracy theories. Again, people might look at Dayton and say, there's no way that this individual shot and killed somebody in a vehicle while he was driving. It just couldn't have happened. When looking at the available evidence, however, it's not looking too good for Dayton. It appears as though he did actually kill his friend in the passenger seat. As bizarre and unexpected as that is, it seems to be the reality in this case.